thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Australia recently passed a law enforcing penalties for violent social media content. Can you tell us a bit more about this?
Yeah, the law was in response to the live Facebook video made by the shooter who killed more than 50 people at two New Zealand mosques in March. And it contemplates huge fines on social media companies and also threatens to jail executives if they fail to quickly remove abhorrent violent material. So this law is well intended, but it was kind of a knee-jerk reaction to a very complex phenomenon, because terrorists and white supremacists and other bad actors can post violent content that can compromise the safety of other users. However, activists can also post violent content to denounce injustices like police brutality. So these laws need to be effective tools both to reduce hatred online and to protect dissident and activist voices that use social media to denounce systemic injustices. So that's why it's important that regulation is designed in consultation with civil society and the industry.
Right, absolutely. Like a law too vague might have some very serious effects on the greater good, I guess. How effective do you think this new law will actually be, and why?
Well, it can be effective because it puts pressure on social media platforms to be more accountable for what users post and to respond quickly to complaints. So the Australia law, though, is a bit vague with things like how fast is fast enough to take down violent content. So it's 30 minutes to an hour. European legislation, for instance, they have these 24 hours as a response time. So this might create some inconsistencies. But I think that what we need is platforms to be more transparent and effective in the way they moderate content. Although, like regulation alone or platforms improving how they moderate content won't solve necessarily the problem of tackling the spread of hatred on social media.
Right, of course. Now, how do you think social media platforms can better work towards reducing online racism?
Again, I think that it's really important that they improve their content moderation processes. So platforms, they have increasingly like better and more detailed hate speech policies. But the way they enforce these rules is often inconsistent, and especially when policies are enforced in non-US contexts, like here in Australia. So platforms have big teams of human content moderators that have to make very quick decisions upon content. And this is not an easy task. So we need transparency in regards to content moderation guidelines, and it would be good if mainstream media, social media platforms would invest researchers in understanding the cultural nuances of racist speech in different parts of the world.
Yeah, of course. Now, humor and satire are often used to try and address sensitive issues online, but sometimes this can backfire. What are the consequences of this, do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, well, first, humor and satire are often protected in platforms' policies. So we have a parody account on Twitter, YouTube protects humorous speech, and there is a long tradition within internet subcultures of justifying harmful behavior under the guise of, no, we're just joking. And this tactic is becoming mainstream. So yes, online expression is ambivalent, but when we use someone's race and ethnicity as a playful and humorous premise, this is very problematic, because these jokes often reproduce and normalize long-running racial stereotypes. So the intent of these jokes should not be the focus of the debate, but the consequences of it. And the consequence is that racist jokes contribute to normalize often other forms of more overt racist speech.
Yeah, absolutely. You are absolutely right on that one. Now, how do our actions online impact information such as, you know, autocomplete and like targeted advertising and how search results are shown?
Well, social media platforms are very complex, large-scale technological systems. So algorithms usually pick up on what's trending, content that has received high levels of engagement, keywords people are using to look for particular information. And based on this behavior, they recommend this popular information in different ways, like ranking this information high in search results or by auto-completing your search with words that have been typed in similar searches. And for example, in the Christchurch attack, mainstream media coverage plays a big role in increasing the demand for the video. So the story drove people to search for and maybe share copies of the entire video, to the point that only by typing Christchurch, if you wanted to know about what happened, Google and other social media platforms search engines would auto-complete this search with the keyword live footage, live video, or manifesto. So it's always the best way to reduce harm online in this case is to deny attention to the perpetrator. And with these searches, even if we didn't want it to share or upload the video, the manifesto, we drove traffic to problematic content and amplified harm to the Muslim community in this case.
Absolutely. Those links to the video and the manifesto were very, very easily accessible through social media, which is incredibly worrying. Now, as digital citizens, how can we personally improve our online interactions to reduce online racism?
Well, digital citizenship is about informed and positive engagement with digital technologies. So racism is a human problem. We need an honest conversation about how hatred circulates and grows in our society and how our online interaction can help reduce online racism. So we can reduce it, for instance, by better understanding how social media platforms work. As we've been discussing, so not giving attention to hateful or controversial content by looking for certain information during really problematic times when terrorist attacks happen. We can also reduce harm online by developing a greater sense of empathy to identify differences in interpretation when we engage with media. So, for instance, thinking twice about engaging in jokes that trade with racial stereotypes that maybe from our limited worldview, this is not problematic. And I would say that another important thing is that we all work toward a more productive anti-racism online. So sometimes instead of calling it out, even if you call out racist views, you amplify these views, even if you want to mock or criticize them. So maybe a better way to work for this more productive anti-racism online would be to report hateful speech online or to amplify counter-narratives. Here in Australia, the voices of Indigenous people or in the case of the Christchurch attack, what the Muslim community was saying about this.
Absolutely. You see very little people talking about just how valuable deplatforming problematic voices actually is. It's so easy with simply a report button. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been absolutely amazing having you on the show tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.